All right, Marty Lurie here, KMBR 680. Boy, the rites of spring, and always one of our pleasures. He's on the show all year long and gives us a great in-depth analysis of baseball. We get to see him live in spring training, and that is Paul White of USA Today. Great to see you.
Yes, Team 26 on my grand tour. So almost done.
Well, you're lucky enough to do that. And you start in Florida, and, of course, you get the long drives all over the place. But, you know, we're here, and we don't always get the inside on what's going on in Florida. So it's great to have you here and catch up a little bit on what you've seen.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's kind of funny. I'm thrilled when I get to Arizona every spring. I do Florida first on purpose because of the travel is just, you know, everybody's spoiled here with all the teams in the Valley now. And, you know, it was interesting in Florida this year. I really came away that I think the American League is fascinating to me. The National League, I'm not so sure. It's like I walked away thinking, this could be boring. We might have the same group of teams in the playoffs again this year. You know, you see teams making strides and, you know, maybe teams that have some issues. But it's really hard to find that team that's going to break through in the National League.
Well, let's start with your hometown team, Washington. And we, of course, saw you out at the AT&T Park for the playoffs, and an amazing playoff that the Giants won, and won two back at Washington. If I have to look at a team that says, well, they got a stud going out every day, five starters, it is Washington. But still, people say, watch the Marlins. So take me through the Nationals and maybe the Marlins.
Yeah, the Marlins are a very interesting team. It was a year ago that it struck me that the Marlins had changed. And I went to Dan Jennings, their general manager, and I said, what have you done? The whole clubhouse is different. It's positive. It's upbeat. And he kind of, Dan's from Alabama, and his draw kind of says, well, you know, you don't invite ants to your picnic. And it's kind of the approach they've taken. And he told me this spring that during last spring, Giancarlo Stanton walked up to him unsolicited on a backfield one day and said, wow, it's different here now. And Dan said, man, I thought we're going somewhere. I have a chance to keep this guy. And he did, and that changes their whole franchise because now they're viable to free agents. They're interesting. They're keeping their stud long term. They're building. I don't think they're quite there yet. I think it's a long shot to see them maybe as a wild card contender, but I don't think they can challenge Washington. Washington is just too deep and a different personality, but they're like the Dodgers in the sense that you can find problems, but the sheer volume of talent probably wins a division. Yeah. They're just that good, no matter what else might be going on. And I think Washington's still in that position.
Boy, interesting about the Marlins. Ozuna, Yelich, and Stanton. Some people say that's the best outfield in baseball right now. Last quote I saw from Dan Jennings, he said, well, you put the sugar in the tea to make it sweet, but you don't know what you have until you stir it. And that was his last quote I saw.
That's typical Dan. He's great. And you know, Ozuna's interesting to me. He's a guy that could go either way. I don't know if he's a guy that the league will eventually adjust to. The other two are studs. Yelich, an incredibly mature kid. I think the one thing that's really going to change them, midseason they'll get Jose Fernandez back. Now, is he going to be that good the second half of this season? Who knows? By next year, he's probably back to being what we see with Matt Harvey this spring with the Mets, who's just been incredible. But he's 18 months out from his Tommy John surgery. Fernandez is trying to come back at 14, 15, 16 months. Next season, he'll probably be that stud pitcher again.
All right, Paul White with us, USA Today. Always a pleasure to have him on our show, and now we get to chat with him here live at in Scottsdale. What about the Nationals? And we know the starting pitching is absolutely terrific, and they kept them all. What's the problem with them?
The problem is, I think, a team that still has to decide if it knows how to win. You know, they keep getting in these situations. It was in 2012 where St. Louis out of nowhere knocked them out of that first-round series. You know, the Giants did it to them again. I think they really thought they could beat the Giants last year. I think two things happened to them very positively in that series. Bryce Harper discovered he really can be the man on the big stage. I mean, he stepped up, and I think that's huge for them going forward. This has been a team that the veteran leadership has been quieter, calm guys. The Ryan Zimmerman's, Jason Worth's not a leader. He's a good player. And Zimmerman told me a couple of years ago, he said, the guys who will become the leaders and have the personalities on this team are Bryce Harper and Ian Desmond. But they would defer to the veterans. They were kids. Now they're stepping up. They're becoming the guys. Now, Desmond's a free agent after this year, and that's a big issue for that team. There's a lot of pressure, a lot of upcoming free agents. But I think Harper really took that step in that playoff series. And the other thing was Drew Storen bouncing back in that one game the second time where he got himself, created his own safe situation, and got himself out of it. This is a guy, he has to be their closer. There's no safety net anymore there. And that's huge for them. And they still could have some bullpen issues. And that's the one thing I think is that the one vulnerability on that team.
All right, so National League East isn't a cakewalk for the Nationals. All right, this is why you're – it's good to have you here to talk a little bit about the Marlins. We've heard a little bit about Dan Haran and D. Gordon going over there, and Ichiro is there as well. Matt Latos is there. So it's a little bit of a different team. I'm watching the Marlins. That was my dark horse pick last year, so a lot of people like them this year as well. Paul, what about the Central, specifically the Cardinals and the Pirates?
I like them both. Both still going in the right direction. The Cardinals are pretty much the same group. They're moving some young kids in there. They're mixing with the bench mix and a little bit in the bullpen. It's pretty much the same group, and I think you're going to see what you get. They've got depth. They've got veterans. They're just a real good team. Now, Pittsburgh pushed them to the very end, and Pittsburgh continues to get better. Gregory Polanco, who was supposed to be the second coming last year, wasn't quite. And Neil Huntington, the general manager, kind of laughs. He says, yeah, for 10 days last year, I was the biggest idiot in baseball because I had held this kid down in the minor leagues. Everybody thought it was about service time, and he came up and tore it up for 2 weeks. And then he was down hitting 200 and went back to the minors. These kids sometimes need a little more time. Now, he's going to be an incredible player. He's a big, big guy. He understands the strike zone. He's going to hit for average. He's going to hit for power. And we'll start to see it this year, I think. And they still have McCutchen. It's a solid team. They've got young pitching that's going to keep getting better. Garrett Cole's awesome young pitcher. Jameson Taillon, who was supposed to come up last year but had Tommy John surgery, we'll probably see him by midseason. They've got another young kid named Nick Kingham, who I think is going to be a pretty good one. We'll see him sometime this year. They're just coming, and they've got some great young players. They're going to continue to get better. I think it's those two again, unless everything falls into place for the Cubs. Okay. They're, I think, the dark horse. I don't know if they're quite ready, and that's one of the couple teams I still have to see out here. I think the Joe Maddon thing will make a huge difference. They might push somebody. If somebody slips in the National League, look out. They could be the ones.
Well, I like pitching, and they've got five starters, and they've got some extra people in that team. Even the bullpen, a little bit unknown, but they get it done. But this Chris Bryant down here has been just awesome, and Boris got in the newspaper this week saying, kid should be in the big leagues, he should be in the big leagues. Arizona's got a guy like that too, Tomas. And Tony La Russa said, look, he may not be ready. We may send him to the minor leagues. So one's an agent talking, keep my guy, and the other is a general manager present saying, we may not keep our guy.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that everybody gets excited about the home runs, these kids can hit. But in both these cases, there's some defensive issues. And Bryant even admits it. I'm still learning to be a good third baseman. And they might kind of take their time, you know, because the one thing you want to be sure with the young players, you have to understand how much you can allow these kids to fail. Now, you have to know the personality. You know, Bryant seems to be a very mature kid. I talked to him a lot last summer at the All-Star Futures game. Very impressive. He gets it. What if he does struggle at the beginning in the major leagues? What if he makes some errors? What if he hits some home runs, but he's hitting 220? Can he handle that? You know, we don't know. I mean, the Cubs probably have a better idea of that. Tomas in Arizona is interesting. They want him to play third base. By all accounts, that hasn't looked so good. So that gives them an easy excuse. They have a lot of outfielders there. Send Tomas to the minor league, say, we're going to make you a third base. You just go down there for a little bit, work on it. It solves their numbers issue for a little while, buys them some time, and they figure out where to go from there.
Boy, exactly right. Boy, you nailed that one, Paul White of USA Today. The Tigers. What about the Tigers? Justin Verlander. Boy, the last Tiger to start a game opening day other than him was Jeremy Bonderman, if you can believe that. Where do you see the Tigers fitting into this thing? They're a little bit older, and I'm not so sure.
I'm not either. They're older, and there's a lot of injury issues, nagging kind of things that are on these guys. I think that division is going to be fascinating. I'm very impressed with where the White Sox are now. It was a year ago out here that Rick Hahn, the general manager, said to me, boy, if I could have one more winner like this one. Well, he did. So I think they're going to really push in that division. I think Cleveland is better than a lot of people give them credit for. Their rotation is pretty solid. Again, that's one that has to fall into place. Can Corey Kluber do that again? Carlos Carrasco had a fabulous finish last year when nobody was paying attention. If that's for real, Danny Salazar, who 2 years ago looked like he was going to be the next great young thing, if he's ready, kind of getting it together. I mean, this Trevor Bauer's another one that seemed to kind of start to put things together last year. They have a very underrated but deep bullpen. If that rotation falls into place, they're a pretty nice team, too. They'll push the Tigers. It's funny. Kansas City went to the World Series last year, and they're going to have a tough time getting back in the playoffs in that division.
Boy, they're my pick to win the American League, Kansas City. It's a five-inning game, and they know how to do it. And you make it a five-inning game in baseball today, you win games.
It might be less than that now. Luke Hochaver's back. The guy had a 1.2-something ERA 2 years ago. And now you got to find a spot for him in the bullpen. And I watched Ryan Madsen throw over there the other day. He'll probably start the year in the minors. This guy was a closer the last time we saw him pitch. It was 3 years ago with the injuries and stuff. But, I asked Ned Yost, I said, is it a three-inning game now? He says, no, I can't do that. I can't kill these guys like I did in the playoffs. He said, but you're right. And there's a team that finally learned that it was really as good as all that hype we've been hearing for all those years. I asked Yost, when did they finally turn the corner? He says, eighth inning of the wild card game. Yeah. He said, that was the point. And they came into the dugout. He said, I'd never seen them so intense. We're going to win this game. We're going to beat John Lester. We're going to win this game. And they did. And after that, they just steamrolled the rest of the American League. But Ned Yost said, it's the most intense without prompting spring training he's ever been around. Those guys got that close. You know what the Giants are like. They understand this. They've been to these World Series. They won them. They understand what it takes. The Royals understand that too now. Plus, they got so close. It's that carrot is just driving them crazy right now.
No, I like it. I like it. I like what they have, and I agree with you. Hochaver makes it a lot different. Even losing Shields, they pick up Volquez. I still think it's a good pickup for them. Shields will be a big part for me of San Diego. I think he's a huge piece for the San Diego pitching staff, but we'll get to them in a second. The Phillies. We haven't touched on the Phillies. My goodness. Utley's still there. Papelbon is there. Cliff Lee is hurt. Hamels is still there. What's going to happen with the Phillies?
They're going to be a bad team for a while. There's no other way about it. No matter how quickly they start trading some of these guys, I mean, even if they can do it right and get four good guys for Cole Hamels somewhere, they have so many holes and so much age, so many problems. And everybody else in that division is going forward and faster than the Phillies are right now. They've got a real problem. It took them too long from the upper management, all the way to ownership, to admit they needed to gut that team. And by the time they did, they have nothing in the farm system, or very little, and some very untradeable guys. Hamels is tradable. I think Jonathan Papelbon's very useful piece, and some team will want him. Some contender's going to need a closer, and they'll pay for Papelbon. But you can't trade Ryan Howard. They now have to think about trading Chase Utley, because you still might get something for him. But they're a mess.
Well, boy, well said. Hey, let's touch on the American League East before you go. You saw them all. They're all in Florida. And I don't know. I can't even pick out a winner out of that crowd.
I can't find a 90-win team, I'll tell you that. You go around there and you kind of, they're okay. And I think that's the case. I think every team, all five, are capable of winning that division or finishing last. I think it's one of those, who has things go right? I kind of like Toronto. I think they've done a lot of things. Losing Marcus Stroman took a big chunk out of their rotation, but they've got a lot of great young arms. And you always put the red flag up, like, let's not get too excited too quickly about young arms. But they, Danny Norris, Aaron Sanchez, really good young pitchers. Russell Martin's going to make a huge difference catching there. He's really taking these kids under his wing right away. R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley like these kids. They think that they're going to be good pitchers. They're helping them. It's a very different clubhouse there. I think Martin helps their lineup. I think Donaldson's going to be huge for them. And I think the guy who could be the real sleeper there, and I will tell you, this is a sleeper MVP candidate, is Edwin Encarnacion. If they can keep him on the field, Josh Donaldson told us, he told the Blue Jays this, that the A's had been talking about, they were playing the Blue Jays, the A's in the clubhouse were saying, this team is on the verge. And it was in Oakland, in the Coliseum, that Encarnacion got hurt going down the line to first base, and he was lying face down, and that was where it all kind of changed, because him in the middle of that batting order, everybody sees pitches. And now they have a better top of the order. You got Donaldson, you got Reyes. If they're healthy, they're awful good. But everything can go wrong there too, just like all these other teams. The Yankees with, you know, can CC Sabathia really pitch? Could A-Rod even help them? I mean, you know, all these things. But all up and down the division, that's the way it is.
All right, one team that you didn't touch on yet, the Red Sox, which is of interest to the fans out here because of their third baseman.
Yeah, I tell you what, he's been embraced. That's one clubhouse where nobody cares what you say. And go ahead and say whatever you want, Panda, and he's done that. And it's kind of funny, in that clubhouse, he's been outshadowed as far as being outspoken by Hanley Ramirez. Hanley's drawn a little bit more attention. But the one thing I did see there that I thought was very interesting, David Ortiz has taken it upon himself to spend a lot of time with these guys. And I think that's going to be very, very important. Nobody's worried about Pablo fitting in and playing his game and being a pro. Ramirez, you don't know. He's got to play left field with that wall. Yeah, we know that Hanley doesn't always try. You know, there's a lot of things going on there. But he's saying the right things, and Ortiz has got his arm around him constantly. And that could be huge. They have pitching issues. They've got some great arms in their system. You can't turn it over to them yet. They don't have a number one guy. They have a bullpen that's deep but old. Who knows which way that goes. Yeah. Offensively, I love them. Mookie Betts is the stud there. He'll be their center fielder and leadoff guy. And this is not a Jackie Bradley Jr. Phenomenon. This is a legit player.
Wow. All right. One team, how about the team that won the East last year? They won 96 games and no one even thinks about them.
And they did nothing again in the offseason, like they did last year, we thought, until they got Nelson Cruz at the last minute, and that made a huge difference. Baltimore is counting on a couple of guys they didn't have for big chunks of last year, Matt Wieters and Manny Machado, to be big-time players again. Wieters had a couple setbacks, catchers with Tommy John, that's a little bit of an issue. But he's a real leader on that team. That's very, very important that he's back. Machado's going to be a very interesting case. The Orioles got a little down on him last year. We saw the thing with the A's. It was a real maturity issue. A kid who had never failed anywhere, and he was coming off a serious injury. He came back. That was hard on him. He struggled when he came back. He didn't know how to handle it. He handled it poorly. The veterans on that team, J.J. Hardy and others, took him aside, and they thought they had things settled. But the Orioles weren't thrilled with when he got hurt again. The amount of work or the attention he put to his rehab, they thought maybe they saw some bad signs. And he's aware of that. They've told him, and he's saying the right things. It's going to be really huge. This kid can be a great player, but Buck Showalter is not going to stand for nonsense. And, the J.J. Hardys and the Adam Joneses in that clubhouse are going to be on this kid. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Well, great to have Paul White with us. Boy, it's great to have you in spring training. We hate to let you go. We can talk about so many other things, but thank you for coming on today. And, of course, during the season, we look forward to catching just about every holiday, every marker of the season we have you on. And I know the fans enjoy it. So, Paul, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Marty.
All right, more coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.